Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day and the time that you're bringing us together in fellowship and worship and praise. And we just thank you, Lord, for everything that you've already put into this service already. And we just thank you, Lord, that the Spirit would just continue to flow in all of us, Lord, and that we will receive what we need to receive. And we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for using me also as your vessel, just as you use the senior praise team, as you use Youth Pastor Marsh, Aunt Shishi. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing, Lord, for this church. And we just thank you, Lord. Just use me and just let me take my time and have a conversation in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I got to get situated, but I feel like Pastor Tony when he always come up and say, Shishi already, you know, said the word. And I feel like today the senior praise team has already touched on my word, so this might be quick. All right, so first, I just want everyone, if you want to participate. Oh, I like the little messages in the back. Psalms, joy. Oh, that's so cute. Okay. Y'all got to check that out before you leave. But I want you to take your hand and just put it on your shoulder. Another hand on your other shoulder. And just give yourselves a hug. All right? And the reason why that's so important, because you earned it. You know, you prepared to be here. We're going through this COVID pandemic, a lot of stuff that we're just going through right now. So, and you all pressed out. I pressed out, you know. So I just thank God, and we just love yourself, you know, because we doing it. And the title of my lesson is, What is Your Heart Condition? So in Bible study, we have been talking about grace and the power it has to change our lives. But you have to want to change. So understanding God's grace will teach you how to live and show you how much you need God. So we can talk about change, but change isn't change until it's change. Okay? Yes. I'll say it again. Change isn't change until it's change. Okay? God has already given us the power. So everything I'm going to touch on today is just a matter of just tapping into your new life. You as a new creature, being born again, and things that might be laying dormant in you. So we're going to activate it. And it's all up to you. Because God has already given us a power. Yes. But Christians have to desire the change and stop making excuses for not changing. And the reason why I put a lot of emphasis on Christians is because we're special. Amen. Remember the hug and all that stuff? You know, Macarena? But, you know, the Christians, the reason why I'm talking to us is because we've already took that first step. We accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Yeah. So now we have his grace. We receive his grace. He died on the cross for us. So we have a right to live the life the way he wants us to live, and so that we can walk in the abundance and his perfect way and will over our life. So I am a very, I used to think I was a linear thinker, but I'm realizing that I'm a non-linear thinker, but I have a linear thinking mom. So I'm a hybrid, okay? And that's an awesome thing. My mom is left-handed, so I love that because I feel like I've been left-handed my entire life too, you know, because it's a different way you're using your brain, you know, and you're thinking and processing. So I really appreciate being a hybrid, okay? But the reason why I'm saying this is because being a non-linear thinker, which is probably my natural state, I feel like there's many paths to get to the solution. So I always have to understand words. I have to understand the definition. Why are we saying we want change? So for me, I'm talking to myself and any other non-linear thinkers out here, because linear is more straight line. It's like absolute, one path, which is a good thing, but it's absolute. And Sister Louise is saying she's also a linear thinker as well. And she's left-handed. She's waving in the back, okay? You can't see that, but the reason why I'm saying all of this is because first we have to define or understand, why do we even want to change? You know, we can say we want to change, what is our heart condition? But why are we changing? And a lot of the times you're changing because you're frustrated with your financial situation, your relationship, your career, your job, your health, your body, your weight. That can cause you want to change. So now that we have a baseline on what I'm going to be talking about and why, if it's any of these things or anything you want to substitute that for, that's the change that you're asking God to show you how to maneuver through this life as a Christian, as a new life, by, you know, accepting him. So we are royalty. We have the power to move through this life. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. But we have the power to understand and talk to him and have a relationship with him on what we should do and what paths we should take to get to our ultimate solution for change. All right. So it's all about perception. You have to change the way you see yourself, the way you approach things as a new creature in Christ. Stop seeing yourself as a failure and renew your mind. I always have to remember names when I'm up here because I have so many aliases and nicknames. But I'm going to talk about Uncle, which is also Minister Scott. He always, when we're in Bible study, he's always referencing renew your mind. So I thought it was very fitting to like make this my foundation scripture because I really appreciate that when you always say that. That's I'm not speaking for him, not trying to put words, but my understanding of when he always emphasized this is because he's saying that this is the path and this is the solution that he takes in life. So we're going to use that as our foundation scripture. So starting at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we're going to just read that scripture. I could just turn around, but show y'all I do know how to navigate through an actual Bible, not my cell phone. All right. All right, so we're at 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, so again, it's a process. You have to want to change. Stop going back and making matters worse. God has set us free. That's what grace is. He didn't die on that cross for him not to take care of our issues. So we have to allow ourselves to be delivered from the toxic relationships, substance abuse, so on and so on. But we keep going back. We're waiting for someone else to change us. We're crying out that we need help, that I need help. I need help with changing. I can't do this. And we're asking people to help change us. And then you might be in a situation where you might be in a relationship and you waiting for that person to change because you feel like if that person changed, then I'll change too. And it's an individual walk. It's an individual situation. It's a personal relationship with our Father. So we have to quit putting it on other people. Amen. And asking who will help us. We need to know that God is our source and that he will help us. So say it out loud. God is my source. And he will help me.
And he will help me.
All right, great. So we put that action out there. So we're changing already. Before I even got up here, you were going through some type of change. You know, your hair changes every single day. I mean, you're always changing. So you have to want to embrace that change. All right. So now we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13 through 15. Okay. And it reads, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. So according to this scripture, it's saying we have to believe first, and then speaking will be a result of what you believe. Okay? So what you say is going to be based on what you're believing. So when it comes to an inward, an inside change, we have to evaluate and we have to spend time thinking about what we believe. What is my heart condition? So I'm going to hold my own self accountable and responsible and challenge myself daily. Like when something happens in your life and you can't go to bed and there's like stress, anxiety, if my reactions of just staying awake, it's not indicating that I'm really believing and understanding that God is going to take care of the situation and that I believe in the finishing works of Jesus Christ over my life. When I realize that I have a belief issue, I'm going to pray and I'm going to get in the Word. A word deficit will allow you to be moved by emotions instead of being led by the Spirit of God. And that's major. Because if you're led by emotions, then you're going to do a lot of things that's out of the path. And I know there's a lot of paths and get to solutions, but you want the path that God is taking you or the multiple paths that God is taking you to. So if you're being led by emotions, that means you're being led by yourself. And you're doubting and you're trusting. You're trusting yourself. All right. So that in itself is going back to what makes people want to change. Being frustrated by their financial situations, relationships, careers, job, health, body, weight, everything. If anyone got another one that we want to throw out there, just let me know. And I'll say it. Okay. Things are going to happen that's going to completely blow our minds. We are humans. And God understands that. We're not perfect. But we have to know that all is well. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. And the reason why I'm speaking from an inward and inside change is because it's nothing wrong with that. If maybe you're not at a place that you're really saying what's really in your heart, but that's, you're the only one that knows that. You can trick me all you want. You can mechanically say, oh, I have the joy of the Lord in my heart. Oh, bless you. Bless you, Sister Janice, you know. But that's okay too, because sometimes you got to speak it so that it can get into your heart. You can make those deposits and believe it and, you know, put that action out there. So there's nothing wrong with that either. It's just a matter of getting to that place and wanting to get to that place of change, because you want to see that prosperity and that change in your life. So this is not meant to condemn anyone at all. It's just to emphasize that we need him every day, and we need to continuously examine our stance and our relationship with him.
Amen.
Right. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. Really nervous up here. I'm like, man, I haven't looked in this Bible in a long time. Y'all see how I stayed in the New Testament. I'm gonna go in the Old Testament. Okay, so we got Matthew 12, 33 through 37. Okay. And it reads, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you be evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bring forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So that's God giving the condemnation. So we just want to continue to focus on the heart-mouth relationship. Go deep into yourself and just make sure that what you are saying is coming from the inside. And only you know that. You know, we go to movies and plays, and actors do an awesome job. You know, so you could also, you know, be on a Broadway stage as well, you know. But at the same time, it's not about the outward. It's about what you know inside and just wanting that change to really happen in your life. So in that, you have to be true to yourself. You have to talk to God. You have to make sure that you're focused on that heart-mouth relationship. So I also wanted to touch on asking God for truth in your life. Don't let deception stay or enter into your heart, because again, it's out of the abundance of your heart. So we'll be known by our fruit. So yeah, you can look like a really good looking tree, but at the same time, you're gonna know that, no, I'm struggling. So don't let your heart be deceived by not wanting to be open to the truth. In your relationships, you may have encountered someone and you leave feeling some kind of way. It doesn't always mean it's that person that you just encountered. The issue may be with you. Here you are rebuking them in the name of Jesus. It's something wrong with that person. But the reality is that you may have some unresolved heart issues or some brokenness, even that goes back to when you was possibly 9 years old, that has been covered up. You never dealt with it, and it's keeping you emotionally stuck in certain areas of your life. So now this present day encounter has triggered a similar emotion of an unresolved issue or brokenness that you've been carrying. Now you're 35 years old, 75 years old, 90 years old, and you're handling the situation as if you were 9 years old. So you have a 9-year-old making decisions and ruling your life because you haven't grown past that trauma of that 9-year-old. Holding on to that brokenness that you're feeling deep, deep, deep in your heart. Amen. That is not fair, nor is that a cool way to live, and that's not what God wants for his Christians, right, his children in this new life. It's a trick of the enemy. Amen. So again, we have to ask God to examine our hearts so that we can move into that change. God will give us the revelation about ourselves instead of pointing the fingers to someone else and saying, oh, it can't be me, it's them. We got to ask God for that truth. We got to ask God on how he's going to heal us from this unresolved heart issue, how he's going to move us forward from this brokenness that we've been carrying for 50, 60, even 10 years. We got to ask God to help us. And I totally get that it doesn't feel good to have to recognize truth. That's not a good feeling. No one ever wants, even if they title it constructive criticism. You don't want constructive criticism. I don't want to hear that. You know, I mean, maybe some people do. I personally do. I do like constructive criticism, but even in that, I have to be careful with that, because everyone that speaks to you is not necessarily for you. So again, it goes back to that personal relationship, that personal friendship with Christ, so that he can guide your path. He can lead you to the ultimate solution that will work awesome for your life. And he'll also open you up to who he is sending to your life to speak or hug you or talk to you in a way that you can understand. The most important thing you can do as a born-again person is to renew your mind. Worship and fellowship so you can begin to change. We need to understand. We need Jesus to show us how to live. as we continue to renew our minds, focus on what really matters, and that's the clarity of knowing Jesus. It's very practical. In order, God created us. So in order for us to function in the optimal design and manner that he wants us to function in, we have to understand him. We have to understand what the standard operating procedure is for helping us to get through this life. Amen. So I know a lot of people, and not us, but there are some people that say that, you know, it's not all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus if you want change in your life. It's all about Jesus if you want to not be frustrated with your financial situation, your relationship, your careers, your job, your health, your body, your weight. It is all about Jesus. So we have to make regular deposits in our life by spending time in the Word, going to Bible studies, church, worship, fellowship, so we can begin to see that change. Now I'm gonna kind of speak on social media. Social media, I know that Aunt Shishi had mentioned about bondage. And social media is a good thing. But that too can kind of put you in bondage if you let it. Here you are, you got your little nice shirt on, you know. You about to put your little post up. Got your hair all done, everything right. And you put the post up, and now someone has shouted out, oh, that shirt don't look good on you. And then you write back, it don't look good on your mama. Now Pastor Rick is on your feed. So he's seeing the back and forth. He's like, ooh, Sister Jen is having a day. Deliverance. So that too is how you can stay in bondage as well. So that too is why you need to focus on God and focus on change. So that when you show your little shirt and you happy about your little shirt, it don't matter what people say. You know? So that's a great example of not being or not allowing things of this world to keep you in bondage, but enjoy the things that God has given us to enjoy, but enjoy it with living life with him. Amen. So I'm going to close on this. Guard and examine your heart. Stop waiting on people to help you to make the change. Jesus wants you to live, and he will answer those intimate questions to grow you higher in him. And in this life, that's relationship. So let God change you from the inside out. Thank you. Amen.